We're going to have open lines for you this hour, giving you an opportunity to chat about events that have been going on. We'll keep the strange for tomorrow night's open lines, but what a day this has been. Of course, Belgian police, they have killed two, wounded one, arrested another suspect in what they call another cell that they picked up from some people coming back from Syria. A dozen people detained this morning and overnight in Paris in connection with last week's shootings as well. Yeah, I just think it's only a matter of time something like that's going to happen here again. There's just too many crazy people out there and fanatics. You can't hide them all. They're going to pop up. Anyway, we'll be back in a moment. We'll go right to your calls on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back. Open lines this hour. Let's take a little more serious note. If we can, we haven't had an opportunity to talk with you about these events that have been occurring lately. I was on Alex Jones's show today, and we covered a whole litany of topics. And what a passionate person he is, by the way. He's one of a kind. You can always get to Alex's website at Infowars.com. But let's go to the phones. Let's start with Annie in Colorado Springs, Colorado, where I will be very close to this weekend. Hello, Annie.
Hi.
Hi.
Yes, you had a guest earlier, and she was talking about her husband that passed away.
Yeah, who was a former priest, believe it or not. Yeah.
Right. And I wanted to give an experience that happened to me.
Okay.
Similar. But anyway, I was engaged for a year, and then he passed away, okay? Suddenly, left ventricle of his heart. What happened was, this fellow I never knew he even liked me. We knew each other maybe 5 years or so, on and off. I might see him 1 year mm-hmm. for 30 minutes, next year, not at all, next year, maybe an hour or two. But anyway, I went out there, this was November 2011, looked up at the full moon, made a little wish. And I don't know why he went through my brain, since we never exchanged a phone number, a hug, a kiss, even held hands, okay? So I never knew the man even liked me. But he went through my brain for some reason and didn't think anything of it. I'm not a superstitious person, so I didn't really think anything of it. But then in December, right after November there, we bumped into each other, literally, up at Cripple Creek. Just bumped. That's it. You know, just briefly brushed against each other. Then the next year we were inseparable. And he said that he fell in love with me the first time he saw me. He said that we were meant to be together, all this. And then he said, later on, after we were together for a little while, we weren't together 1 year, but he was telling me the story how he went up in November 2011, looked up at the full moon, and made this little wish about me.
You were the wish.
The same wish, the same night. Boom.
Okay. That is eerie.
And I heard you before talking about, like, out-of-body experiences.
Yeah.
And it had to be like a near-death experience or something. But I had one, and it wasn't a near-death experience. It was just an injury, but there's no scar. I cut myself on some glass when I was like a teenager. And I lay down on my bed, and I had an out-of-body experience. Then I could feel myself come out, look down at myself.
Is that the only time it's ever happened to you?
Well, since then, I've been able to, have you ever been in a room or even in a crowd and you thought you heard someone call your name or your nickname or your abbreviated name and you turn around and there's no one there or you ask, did you just call my name? Or you look around down, you know, you think it's your buddy or one of your
and there's no one
cameraman
there.
Or so, yeah. Well, I can, like, for instance, I can do that with, like, my son's name, call it out, and he's miles away, and I'll tell him, I say, well, 5 p.m., I'm going to call you, and it happened. He'll hear it, or you know, he didn't know it till I told, you know.
Well, you connected, Annie. You've got that telepathy. You've got that ability to communicate that way without a telephone. And, you know, when people have been together for a long, long time, that happens. It really does. I mean, we're all connected. People, you've been listening to this program for years. Here's my little experiment. Now, this is, the odds are it's 20%, but it's always much more than that. If you want to email me, go ahead. But I just want you to kind of like pretend your mind is a blackboard that's blank. I'm going to send you a number. When I say I've sent it, I want you to just grab the first number you think it is, and then I'm going to tell you what I sent you. So get ready. Clean it out. I sent you three. Number three. Did you get that? If you did, send me an email. Anyway, let's go back to the phones. Ann, thanks for yours. Let's go to Montreal. Mark, welcome to the show. Go ahead, Mark.
George, I really enjoy your show, and I'm enjoying your guests and all that. George, you know, I come from a very toxic family, okay? I was brought up, I was beaten up, I was put down. The whole nine yards, I mean, I was threatened with reform school, and I was, you know, I'm not a criminal or anything. It was all psychological warfare with me, and my three other brothers, none of them went through it. I was the oldest, you know? And my mother was always in the middle defending me and all that. And my father used to, like, go ballistic. And to think of it, my father was not, how would you put it, I'm not knocking anybody. He wasn't a taxi driver or anything like that. He was the director of Hitachi in Canada. Hitachi, Canada. You know, he had an education. He had 1 year he left before being a doctor. He did all his schooling. He was brought up hard, too.
Was he abusive?
Abusive? He used to beat the living crap out of me. I remember I went to school in grade five. I felt, what happens, I fell down in my room in the house. My father was downstairs looking at the CBS News, and I remember that like yesterday. I tripped over my chair. I fell down. He came upstairs, and he punched me, man, and kicked me in the face. My face had swollen.
Jeez.
Up. Okay? I went to school the next day. My mother, and you know what he said? My mother came home that night. She said, "What the hell happened to Mark?" And, you know, he did this and that. And he says, anyway, he says, they'll probably think it's because he smokes marijuana. It's like stupid things like that.
Well, as you've grown up now, do you have any of those traits of him?
No, not at all. I have brothers. We don't talk to each other, okay? My mother, I don't talk to her. Okay?
Why not?
Because... it's all toxic. The whole family is toxic, George. The whole family is toxic.
That's sad, though, isn't it?
She used to bite me. She used to scratch me. I was always discouraged in doing this, doing that. I'm a drummer, okay, George? I'm a drummer. I'm a self-taught drummer. I started hitting on pots and pans when I was about 4 years old in the kitchen, okay? And my dad never, ever wanted to buy me a drum set. He said, take lessons and you get a drum set, which I never believed him anyway. So I said to myself, in 1976, I'll go rent my own drums. I went and rented my drum set. When he saw that truck backing up, he says, "Dad isn't coming in the house here." And then when I did set it up, he had nothing good to say about it.
Yeah.
"You're not going to play when I'm here."
And
when he heard me play it, he says, "You're no Jim Krupa."
Did you ever use playing the drums for your avocation? I mean, did you ever turn it into a job?
No, I never did. I never did. You know what I wanted to do, George? I wanted to go into law enforcement. That's what I wanted to do. I wanted to do that in 1978.
Did you?
And no, I didn't because of health reasons. But I would have been a happy being a police officer. And today, well, I have police officer friends, and I do ride-alongs with them. That's as close as I'll ever be to being a police officer, I suppose. But in Montreal, with the Montreal Police. But I mean, in general, I mean, I was brought up bad, George. And I take depression pills, and I take Rivotril. And if people could say, you got a lot of people that will tell you, "Oh, well, you know, you could have put that beside you and stop carrying all that baggage." I don't carry the baggage every day, George, but every so often.
It comes in spurts.
There you go.
Yeah,
there you go.
I know that. Okay, well, you keep fighting the good fight. And as you know, we take text messages. I love these. They come in like crazy. Tom, you've got one for us.
We certainly do. This is from Suzanne in West Covina. She says, "This thing in France is just unbelievable. The killing in this world has got to stop. What is wrong with people? What makes them act this way?"
Well, first of all, I would say it's not unbelievable. It has happened. It's going to happen. And that's just the way it is. It's a tragedy. We just saw what happened in Belgium. It's not going to stop. I'm amazed, Tom, that other than the Boston Marathon bombing, we haven't had more of these kinds of things happen here. But a lot of the things that happen here are homegrown, too. I mean, the shootings in schools, the shootings in the theaters. I mean, that's, to me, that's tragic, too.
But it's about, to me, you know, the more it happens, the more I think it's just you're born with it sometimes.
Are
it's
you,
just waiting
are you
to come
desensitized
out.
From it?
No, I'm not desensitized from it because I really do feel sorry for people when this happens, even the people that do these shootings. I would hate to be born with something inside me that one day in my life would make me go crazy and, you know, shoot somebody.
Police officer in Flagstaff, Arizona, shot to death, went to a home on a domestic case, pulls the young man outside. He's talking to him. The guy pulls a gun on the officer and kills him.
They don't pay
those guys
enough.
Officer's got a body cam on, so you can see basically what's happening. They edited it. And then apparently the guy killed himself.
They don't pay him enough.
It's crazy. Okay, thanks, Tom. Next up, let's go to Garden Grove, California. Kevin's with us on Coast to Coast. Hello, Kevin. Go ahead.
Hi, George. I'm been the first-time caller. I've been listening to the show since Art was covering it.
Thank you.
A long time ago. I love the show, but my wife passed away on Monday.
I'm sorry to hear that.
But my biggest concern is in life is that I've never been an activist. I've never been, you know, anything of a person that pushed anything or anything like that. But it turns out that my wife, as when she passed away, the company called One Legacy, they pulled her, tissue and donations and everything like that.
Okay.
And I found out just the other day that the tissues and everything that they pulled from her were, pardon me if I get a little choked up here.
I understand.
They pulled her pericardium and heart valves and a few other things. And just from her passing away from a massive cardiac arrest at 44 years old, the tissues and everything that they pulled from her were able to help. Could eventually help at least 70 people.
Isn't that amazing?
It really is. It really turned my life around, and I realized that this is something that I'm now really passionate about. And it turns out that only in Southern California, I live in central Southern California near Fountain Valley and everything like that. And about 19% of people are tissue donors or organ donors.
I think that's right. Would you like to meet some of these people, Kevin, who are recipients of your wife's tissue or organs?
Well, you know, not honestly, but, you know, I told the people that were taking from my mom, from my wife after she left, and I told them that I would like to have them, you know that the donors came from her daughter, you know, and that was really important to me. And it helps my daughter sometime when I can actually tell her everything that happened.
Yeah.
That she'll know that she may have helped at least, you know, just from from her heart valves alone to help five people.
Oh, my God. It's almost like she lives forever.
And that's, you know, I mean, it's really important to me. I mean, I've only been on my life for about 4.5 years. She's been in my life. And it's really important to me. My daughter's only 8 years old. And,
oh, boy.
You know, it's really important to me. I found out from my brother-in-law, his wife is from Australia, and they're all, I mean, it's unless you opt out of it, your tissue and organ donation, a donor from automatically.
Yeah.
I mean,
I've got that checked off on my driver's license.
That's great. I appreciate that. And, you know, it really amazes me that here we are in the United States of America, and I'm in Southern California, and I live, you know, between San Diego, I'm halfway between San Diego and L.A., and only 19% of people are organ donors. And I'm sitting here thinking to myself, I'm going, oh, my God. I mean, never in my life have I ever had anything that I really cared about. And with my wife dying on Monday, I realize now that this is amazing. I mean, this is a chance for me to sit here and talk to an audience of, I don't know how many millions of people listen to you every day.
It keeps growing.
And that's important to me right now. I mean, this is something I'm really passionate about. All of a sudden, I've never been passionate about anything in my life until this. I mean, my wife, they harvested the whites of her eyes, and that's how somebody lived and actually see. They harvested her heart valves. I mean, that's five people.
That's amazing. And this was something she wanted to do, I guess, right?
Yes, she did. I mean, she was always in favor of that. I mean, she told me that when I first met her, and we talked about it for years. And, I mean, she had, you know, the heart valves alone are five people could be living from that.
That is amazing. Kevin, and I don't want to dwell on the death part of it. What was it, sudden, or was she ill?
No, she was not ill at all. She called me at 7:30 in the morning on a Monday and told me she was going home because she didn't feel well. And the cardiologist and the neurologist told me she had a massive, massive coronary event.
Did she have she must have had severe blockage.
No, I mean, her entire family has no problems with heart problems at all. I mean, it was just something that the neurologist and the cardiologist told me that it may have been just a cross wiring that she was born with. And it just happened to be that particular time when I went home. And it was just horrible. Wow. I mean, I watched her and I sat here, and it was the most horrible thing I've ever gone through in my entire life.
I can believe that. You know, I've gone through a couple episodes in the last couple of years. And I know what you're going through. It's not easy. It is not easy at all. But I've got to tell you, though, Kevin, the fact that she has been able to donate so much of herself toward people who need it, it's amazing. But I bet that eventually you will want to meet some of the recipients of her. And what an amazing moment that would be when that happens. Just a simply amazing moment. Hey, let me get this announcement in, and then we're going to take the break. And we'll come back with some more open lines. And don't forget, tomorrow night, after a couple hours of talking about why people get tattooed. I kid you not, I don't have any. But why do people get tattooed? We're going to have those special Friday night into Saturday morning open lines. But Beyond Belief, of course, is our television program. It is one of the fastest-growing internet-based programs, but it's really not just internet anymore, because almost everybody who has a flat screen has the ability to take those internet feeds and streams and put them on the flat screen. So you can do that with Beyond Belief, and it's a great-looking television show. And I want you to watch it for free for the time being when you go to this website, www.beyondbelief.com. It is that simple. You register, you don't pay for anything, and if you decide you want to stay with the show, then you pay a little bit. Beyondbelief.com. And again, like I mentioned, on our Friday night into Saturday morning show, we're going to talk about what is the craze with tattoos, but you're going to enjoy this. And then we'll have our special Friday night into Saturday morning open lines. And when we come back in a moment here on Coast to Coast AM, we'll take your other open lines next. And welcome back to Coast. Welcome back to Open Lines. Let's go right to the phones because the clock continues to tick. Hayden, International Line in Canada, welcome to the program. Hello, Hayden.
Hello, George. All I can say is kaboom. That's what my brain did when you had your guest on that little while ago. It blew my mind because it felt like he was talking about me.
What happened? Tell me about you.
I grew up in a very, very abusive home, verbally and physically and all that. And it screwed me up. But luckily, I had my grandparents to kind of counteract that because they were the exact opposite. And I lost them both about 6 years ago. And I've been in nothing but a rut. I've been in a dark cloud that I just can't seem to get through. It's like a haze that I just can't seem to push on through, and I've become a recluse. I only take jobs that are at nighttime, so I don't have to deal with anybody.
Really?
I don't like people. It's just something happened that I just don't like being around people. I don't want to be around people. I don't want to do anything. And this is pretty much the only communication that I get.
This is it, the radio show. When you do meet people, are you like okay with them? Are you nice to them? Or what do you do?
I try to avoid. I don't like how people are. I don't like the way things are. It all happened after my grandparents left.
Huh. And,
I've just been in such a bummed out rut that I just can't seem to get out of. And I've went to talk to people, and all they want to do is push medication on me, and they turn me into a zombie and
All
that kind of stuff. And I can't function like that, but I'm running out of options here. And the only other option is, I don't know, is to just
I
don't know what else to
That's
do.
Not an option.
Well, it's a cloud that just hangs over me that I can't get away. And I was kind of hoping the gentleman that you were talking to was going to stick around a little bit longer, but oh well.
Tell me how old you are.
I'm 35.
Oh, so you're young. God, you're young. I'll trade you some years.
You can have them. I'll even gift wrap them for you.
All right, you do that. But, I mean, have you had relationships in the past?
Yeah, I have, but not after they died. I my whole world just...
And how old were you when they died?
They died in 2009.
Okay, so six years. So up until that point, though, were you okay with people?
Well, yeah, I didn't really have a problem with people, and then when my rocks left, they were my pillars, and everything just crumbled down around it, and I can't even see daylight. It's just that dark. I don't know what else to do, and I figured I'd give you guys a call.
Well, you gotta pull out of it for sure. We will have Hayden more and more of these experts on over the course of this year. Make sure you're listening, and definitely try to call in, okay?
I always listen.
Okay, keep plugging away. All right, thanks. Not easy. Let's go to Mayette in the city of New York. Hello, Mayette. Welcome back.
Hey, good morning, all. George, thanks for taking my call. And Hayden, God, the Most High loves you, so hang in there. He should probably... try to get into some spiritual practice, I would say. I had told the screener that I was going to, I was on hold last night, and Dawn didn't get to speak to Johann, but I was going to bring up the law enforcement against prohibition called LEAP, but I'm going to put that aside and leave that for another time. When I heard you mention about George, what's happening about Paris and Belgium, I really want to make a comment about that and a suggestion. First of all, this situation in Belgium and a little short while in Australia, we need to be concerned about that and have somebody bring them on to talk about that, because that reminds me of the movie Minority Report, because two people were killed in squat-type raids, and, you know, no particular crime alleged, but I guess saying that they were about to do something. So that's very concerning. Want to recommend Amy Goodman on Democracy Now, and she's at that website too, had a very interesting program on Tuesday that we need to talk about. She had on a professor, Lisa Samnitsky from Harvard, who has just written a book called Disciplining Terror, How Experts Invented Terrorism. And she was with Glenn Greenwald, who's looked into this, of The Intercept. And they were basically saying that these experts that come on all the mainstream media really have no credentials, and it's just a free for all and has no validity. They also brought out that it's only a terrorist attack when it's an Arab or it concerns Iran, because Timothy McVeigh, when they first thought it was two Arabs, it was terrorism, then they didn't ever refer to it. And there are other cases too, like the guy who took the plane into the IRS building. It was first thought to be an Arab, it was terrorism, mm-hmm. and then it was different. Now, I would like to suggest, George, and I'm finishing up now, that you bring some, have you ever had Paul Craig Roberts on?
I don't recall.
He's excellent. He's a former assistant treasury secretary, editor and columnist of the Wall Street Journal, a former colonel, I believe. He has gravitas. And he's talking about looking at the questions that don't add up. The same way you bring on people on 9/11 Truth, we need to look at some of that. And he's at that website of his name. Kevin Barrett, a Muslim and professor, converted Muslim, you know, a white guy who's a Muslim. He does Truth Jihad. And there's another site, globalresearch.ca, which has a lot of questions that aren't being answered, and another one called Disinfo, rather nodisinfo.com. So I hope people will get on those sites. You'll put your thinking cap on and decide who you can bring on and ask that question we need to ask. Is this a false flag? And thank you so much for the opportunity.
You're welcome. Look, as I was telling Alex Jones this morning on his show, not everything is a conspiracy. It just isn't. Some things actually happen. There's a lot of hate out there and everything else. But that doesn't mean you don't look at the possibility. You can't rule out anything. But in this particular case, I'm pretty sure that these crazed jihadists are behind this. Let's go to Gary in Santa Maria, California. Hi, Gary. It's your turn on Coast to Coast. Go ahead.
Oh, thank you very much, George. I've called before.
Yes, you have.
But this may be the most important call that I have made about part of my background that I don't talk about very much. 1992, the L.A. riots happened, and I had just finished my contract with American Express, and they gave me a nice severance package, bunches of computer equipment. And I went to work for Rebuild L.A., and I was put on the steering committee of the race relations and the communications task force. Now, Rebuild LA went after big companies to help solve race relations. It was under Peter Uberoff, the totally wrong man for the job. Just look up Rebuild LA and Peter Uberoff Wikipedia. They do a great expose. I won't go into any more detail. Wrong man for the job. But every major company put their top vice presidents, senior vice presidents of communications, marketing, human resources, and we had think tanks. And those vice presidents polled on the resources of their companies, especially Xerox Corporation, IBM, the supermarkets. We sat down. I moved into the inner city, down to the Crenshaw District at 6'7", playing, you know, a little hoop with the brothers in the hood, getting mm-hmm. to know the neighborhood, literally, while it was still smoking. We came away with some conclusions that resounded with me last night. One of the conclusions was that the drug war had turned into a war on blacks. Just look at the black prison population versus the white, or now it's black and brown population
right.
versus the white.
Right.
And at that same time, and you can Google this too, the CIA lost track of 1 ton of cocaine that ended on the streets of L.A. Now, they said it was a fluke. Do you know how much cocaine you got to be moving around to lose track of a ton? A ton?
That's a lot.
And the same issues that were at Rebuild L.A. are in Ferguson, Missouri. And I don't know what's going to happen when, God forbid, and it will happen sooner or later, another black youth is shot by a white cop. We're hitting a boiling point. Now, there was so much work that we did I put it all in a report. We had PSAs that we did, public service announcements. Mm-hmm. We produced commercials. I said it. I was chosen to give it to Mr. Uberoff. He opened it up, cursory looked through a couple of pages. He says, where does it talk about jobs? Well, we weren't the job creation task force. We were race relations and communications. He practically threw it back at me and said, well, when it says something about jobs, get back to me. I busted a chair on the wall.
He missed the boat, didn't he? The whole thing. He missed the intention and everything you were trying to do.
Wrong man for the job. I could give a briefing and a half.
I don't have time for the briefing and a half, Gare, so let's do it really fast, all right?
Okay. One of the task force, they had a bad problem with the Korean shopkeepers and the blacks. And what it boiled down to, and a Korean lady pointed it out, that in Korea, they don't touch. If a strange man touches a woman's arm, women have been known to chop their hands off. So
ouch.
When a black customer would go to the Korean shop owner and hold money out in his hand, she would ask for him to put it on the counter.
Really?
The blacks interpreted that as, you know, that they were too dirty to touch. It was purely cultural. Messages like that got to get out. We got to end this drug war, that it is a war on blacks. And just recently, on October 6th, the the Food and Drug Administration changed the classification of Norcos, the painkiller for amputees and severe back injuries, from a Schedule 3 to a Schedule 2. Now you have to go in to the doctor. He cannot fax in a refill. He cannot give you a refill. I don't care how much pain you're in. You got to get on the bus and go see the doctor. Well, now the price of Norco's regular prescription painkiller for, $20 for 60 tablets has gone from $3 a pill to $10, $12.
And a lot of people cannot afford that. Got just a little bit of time for a few more calls. Let's go to Wayne in Cleveland. Hey, Wayne, welcome to the show.
Hello, George.
Hey, Wayne.
Did you have an acquaintance or a friend that took his life yesterday?
Yes. He was not a I went out with him all the time friend, but I knew him well.
Because the same thing happened to me in Cleveland yesterday. And I mean, it might be just a coincidence, but
that's true.
You're the man who, yeah.
Well, the person I knew was a lawyer. He was 38 years old. He had gone through a divorce. He had a girlfriend, got into a fight with her. Who knows what the heck happened, but when police got there, because they were called by her, he shot himself in the head.
I mean, did anybody notice any change in him?
Yeah. I talked to some people today, and they had seen something happening over the last week or two.
Because that happened, it was the same thing with my friend. He was 23 years old, very outgoing, and we worked together. And
it's shocking.
At lunch, he would be talking to other co-workers, and then all of a sudden, he quit talking to people. He started reading the Bible. And then what was also kind of funny about it, he left his phone at work the day before because his mother called the number, and we found the phone because he was a maintenance worker in his room. And it was just, the only thing I can describe, it was weird.
Yeah. So was this. Nobody can figure this out. Nobody.
I mean, what was about yesterday that was so different than any other day? I mean,
well, you know what? You don't know what's out there in the universe. You really don't. Hey, Wayne, thanks for sharing that with us. We have one more last text message. Tom, what do you have for us?
We do the last one. Mike in Tampa Bay. What's up, George?
What's up, Mike?
What up?
What's your take on the latest plane they found in the ocean? More importantly, do you think it's about time air safety is taken to a new level by the airlines?
Well, until they get into the cockpit recorders in the black box, We don't know what happened. I'm going to wait for that. But I've got to tell you, I mean, it is so tragic. We fly, Tom, as you know,
all the time.
A lot. We're flying this weekend to Denver to do our Beyond Belief shows. We're always flying. And just to picture what could have happened with that plane going through the clouds to get out of a storm is just unbelievable. But let's wait and see what happens.
But because a plane, because anything can happen, shouldn't a plane like be pristine? Like, do you remember when you pointed out just that little plastic piece that was
in
off
the plane?
Yeah, on
that
plane
drove me nuts. I wanted to go up there and fix it. So did you.
Everything should be perfect.
Yeah.
It's just not.
No mistakes. That was the lids I put in the overhead bags.
Yeah.
It was kind of like off, and it was hanging. Clearly, somebody should have fixed it a long time ago.
Everything should be perfect when it comes to airlines.
Well, you know, when you see things like that, you figure out what else is wrong.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Tom. Okay, we're going to wrap things up pretty soon here. Don't forget our Friday night into Saturday morning show. Lots going on, and then our weekend hosts, of course, will be giving you more live programming here on Coast to Coast AM. Saturday, we fly off to Boulder, Colorado to tape our Beyond Belief television shows. And, of course, we'll be right back on Monday. But we'll be here tomorrow night for you on Coast to Coast AM. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, George Knapp, and Art Bell. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.